Good evening. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year to all of you. I remember probably, I reckon it was about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. It probably was even longer than that. Back when Pastor Al was the assistant pastor in at Coffs Bible Church, he was our youth pastor. And we had a youth service. And we're all the, I don't know, do you do a youth service down here? You haven't for a little while. It's been a while in Coffs, but we did a youth service back in the day. And from memory, I think, I can't remember who preached, but I remember it was the very first time I'd ever led. I got to lead the service. And I was in the front room, a bit like your setup that you're building in the new hall out the back. We've got a little room off to the side, and we were having prayer before the service, and Pastor Al said to me, just remember, Dave, if you forget the offering, it's okay, because there's a very special few who forget that. And it's good to see that Pastor Al hasn't lost that talent, and that after all these years, he's still part of the special few. I can say that in the years since, I'm not worthy to join that group just yet. But if my father's forgetfulness is anything to go by, it won't be long, and I'll be in there, that club with bells on. So it's great to be here. Let's pray and commit our time to the Lord, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you that we can be in your house. We pray now that you will, Lord, help us to focus on the Word of God just for a little bit this evening, that we may be blessed and challenged by it. Speak to us, however your will provides, dear Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Now, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to do a little bit of a Christmas-themed message this evening, but it's okay because, as you will see, it's actually very, I suppose it's very topical for the day, because you'll see when we get into it that some stuff actually happened very similar around this time. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, the Christmas story that we remember as normally on Christmas Day, we normally look at the whole Christmas story in one day, when in reality it took place over quite a long period of time, sort of 15 months plus. And this evening I just want to have a quick look at a few of the characters, a bit of a, I suppose, more of a character study on a few of the people that played a role in the Christmas story. And we'll just have a look quickly at each of the characters, and then try and bring a few similarities in, then I hope it is a blessing to you. So the first one I want to look at is the characters of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, they came along about 15 months before Jesus was born, 6 months before the angel appeared to Mary. And they play an important part in the story of Jesus, as we'll see. So Luke chapter 1, and let's have a look from verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, I'm not going to read it, the rest of the story, for the sake of time, but Zacharias and Elizabeth were the first, sort of the very start of the Christmas story. Now, they were the parents of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist didn't really play much of a role in the life of Jesus until later on. And as we know, his job was to bring in the Lord, foretell the Lord and bring him into his role in as the Messiah. But it was important for Elizabeth because Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, and Elizabeth was a support to Mary, and so these two couple here, and while they were old and and they had no children. They were important in the story of Jesus. We read there that that they were both well stricken in years. That idea is that they were well beyond the age where they should normally be having children. And we're not just talking a little bit past it. We're talking well past it, well into their 50s and 60s, most likely. And they had no children, but they were both righteous before God. And the Lord saw that it was good for them to be involved in the story and the birth of Jesus. And so the Lord visited Zacharias while he's performing his duty as a priest in the temple. And the story goes, again, if you've got time, I'm sure you're aware of it. If not, it goes on in the rest of Luke chapter 1. But the Lord came to Zacharias and told him that his wife was going to be with child. Now, it wasn't going to be a virgin born like Mary, but it's just as amazing to me that someone who was no way in the world would they be able to have children normally, but a miracle was done, and the Lord allowed Elizabeth to be the bearer of John the Baptist. And that when a few months later Mary was visited by the angel, she would go to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth would be there to comfort her. And I'm sure, and I think it was important in the whole story because Mary was able to receive comfort from Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was able to convey what God had conveyed to her and really cemented what Mary was going through. And so while this was not in its own anything spectacular, it's an important building block in the story of the birth of Jesus. Now, I want to go over into verse 28 and to have a quick look at Mary. So verse 25. Now, we're not going to spend much time looking at Mary here because she's been covered very much over the years. Verse 25 says, "Thus saith the Lord," Verse 26, sorry. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." As I said, this is an extremely well-known story, but Mary, out of the blue, was chosen to bear the Son of God. She was chosen as a late, probably a mid to late teenager, not very old at all, but she was chosen. It says that she was well-favoured of God, and she was chosen to bear the Son of God. I don't need to say much more on Mary for now because it all makes perfect sense. Joseph is the next one I want to look at as we put the pieces together here. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Now, we know that then the angel appeared to Joseph and the angel said, "No, it's okay, Joseph, you go ahead with this." So Joseph is the next one that I want to put a bit of a piece together here, because he was, again, probably a late teenager, early young adult, not very old, and he was espoused or waiting to marry Mary. Now, he was late teens, early 20s. Now, in those days, they had three stages of marriage. If you're not aware of it, there was the engagement stage, and there was the stage of waiting, and then there was the stage where the groom would come and take his bride. They were in the middle stage, waiting for the big wedding finally to happen. And in those days, it was as good as done. It was very, very rare for an engagement of that magnitude to be broken. And so Joseph, he was a just and righteous man, and we know that the angel appeared to him, and he was able to go through and look after Mary. I don't need to go into the rest of the story. They ended up in Bethlehem, where the baby Jesus was born. Now, I want to fast forward if you turn back to Luke, I'm going to look at two final people before we start pulling a couple of things out here. And this is where it's, a bit the same for us. If we have a look in Luke chapter 2, and verse 21, it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so called of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So we are now 8 days after Christmas. And so the Christmas story sort of doesn't just end right at Christmas Day. 8 days after, Jesus was, that's when he was named and circumcised. And right on the back of this, his parents go into the temple. And that's when we see the next two people that I want to have a look at this evening and as part of this character study. In verse 25, after they'd done their offerings in the temple, they meet Simeon. It says, verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the customs of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and glory of thy people Israel." Simeon was an interesting character here because he sort of comes a bit out of the blue, a bit like everyone else story of the Christmas story, in that he was just a righteous man and that God had made him a promise. I'm guessing he was getting older, because God had made him a promise that he was not going to see death, or he's not going to die until he had seen the Messiah. And this, on the eighth day after Jesus's birth, was when that wonderful promise got fulfilled, and that the Lord miraculously brought him into the temple and he was able to see the Messiah. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been promised that, whether it was after Mary had been the angel had been to Mary, or whether this had been something that had been happening for years and years and years. But Simeon had the wonderful privilege that God had said, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And he was able to come in and see the Messiah, and he was able to give Joseph and Mary a warning of what was to come, about the joy that was to come, but also the hardships that were to come. And I think that's a pretty special thing for Simeon. But we'll see why that was important in a minute. And I want to just look at one last person before I start pulling a few things out here, and that is Anna. And that's in verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Here we meet the final person that I want to look at tonight, of Anna. She is a very, very, very old lady. We're told that she was married for 7 years and then a widow for at least 84 years. So if my math serves me correct, that's 91 years. So if she got married anything older than 9, she was at least 100 years old. So my best guess is that she's 105 or older by this time in the temple. But she too, a bit like Simeon, was a righteous person, and she spent her nights and days in the temple praising God and praying and looking for the redemption of Israel. We see there that she was went and spoke to all that were seeking redemption in Israel. And she was able to see the baby Jesus as well. And she was a very important part. Her and Simeon played an important role in the birth of Jesus, in that I'm sure Mary and Joseph, after the shepherds and the wise men and everything that happened, were, I'm sure they were still trying to piece it all together. And these two helped them to understand what exactly was going on, and that God was going to do something extremely special with their baby Jesus. Now, these are the ones I want to look at. And just quickly, I want to look at 3 points of similarities and differences that these ones had. And so my first point here is the commonality that each of these had. Now, each of these played a role in Jesus' very early life, or in the lives of Mary and Joseph. And as I read through the story, I noticed they all had one thing in common. I'll just read you a few verses and see if you can pick it up as I go. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it said of Zacharias and Elizabeth, in Luke 1, 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Of Mary, it said in Luke 1, 28, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Of Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, or righteous man. Luke 2, 25, and behold, this is of Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout. And of Anna in Luke 2, 37, it says, Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There was a great theme amongst every one of these people that God chose to have a part in the birth of his son, and that they were all considered righteous. They were all considered just. They were all considered to be righteous before the Lord. And it seems that that is the reason that they were chosen, because there was nothing much else of similarities between all of them, as we'll see in a sec. And I thought that should be a great encouragement and a challenge to each and every one of us. And that is, if we want God to do something special in our lives, and if you love the Lord, I'm sure that that is your goal, is that you want to see the Lord use you for his glory. Instead of chasing the thing that you think it is, chase righteousness and chase holiness, because they were the things that made these people stand out before God. God didn't look at them and see their stature. We don't know the height of any of these people or how their hair looked or how fast they were. All we know is that they were just and righteous before God. And I'm sure that ones like Simeon never thought that in his life, as he was going about trying to be a righteous man, that he thought that God was going to give him this amazing privilege to handle the Messiah before he would see death. But that is what happened. And each of these ones, it was solely because they were just and righteous. And that should be a challenge to each of us, that as we seek to serve God and as we seek to win the lost for Christ, if we want God to do something big, don't go chasing the big thing. Chase righteousness. Because God will then take our righteousness and use it for his glory and use it to do something for him. But it wasn't just that that made them, that stood out to me, and that because they had that commonality of righteousness, I found something else very special, and that's what I've called the changes. Because I love that when you look at each of these, they all had a love for Christ, they were all righteous, but they were all spectacularly different. You look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were an old married couple that, despite the fact that they wanted children, they hadn't had children. You had Joseph and Mary, who were young people. They weren't yet married, or they were about to be married. You had Simeon, who was most likely a very old man. You had Anna, who was a very, very old, long-time widow. Yet despite this massive difference in each of them, they were all chosen to be part of the story of Christ. If you throw in things like the wise men and the shepherds, you've just got this incredible array of people that God chose to be part of the birth of his son. You've got farmers with the shepherds. You've got tradies with Joseph, who was a carpenter. You've got housewives. You've got Zacharias, who was a priest, or part-time priest at least. You've got philosophers in the wise men. You've got this great variety of ages. You've got this great variety of talents. You've got this great variety of backgrounds, of genders, of, you name it. They're all different. But God still chose each of them to play a special part in his plan. And that should encourage each and every one of us and challenge each and every one of us, because we're never done for God. It doesn't matter what our stage is. It doesn't matter whether we're young or old. It doesn't matter whether we're single or married. All of that comes into a part of playing a role for God. And we use each of those things to bring God glory. You know, the shepherds couldn't have brought the Lord the gold, the silver, the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh. That was just something that they didn't have the wherewithal to do. But the wise men could. And it was the same for each of these ones. They all played a role in the birth of Christ. And we should be all able to play a role in what Christ does in our church, in the church here at Bendigo, and in our lives of people every day. There shouldn't be a single person who can't have an effect on the loss for Christ, because we all have the ability to make a difference. And I just find that so wonderful that God found that no one, even Anna, who was well over 100 years old, who'd been through heartache of, you know, we know in those days that to be a widow was hard. It was not an easy thing to be a widow, but for 84 years, that was who Anna was, and yet God still said, hey, you can be a special part of this plan. And she used that to tell all of those in Jerusalem who were looking for redemption. And I think that's a great thing, that no one is too far old or their circumstance is no good for God to use them. But there was one thing that we know that there was commonality in them all, that they all were righteous, they were all totally different. But there was one thing, they had one core belief that brought them all together. And that was the belief that Jesus was the Christ. And that's the one thing that should draw us together, is that Jesus is our Christ. He is our Messiah. He's the one that died for us. Now, I don't know everyone here, but the first thing that should be the case is that you know him as your Lord and Saviour, that you have asked him into your heart, that you have asked Jesus to be your Saviour, to ask him to take the penalty for your sins, because that's the whole reason that he came. He came to bear our sin upon him so that we didn't have to take that punishment. But that's the most important thing that these ones knew. But the exciting thing to me about it, that every one of these ones from the oldest of Anna to the youngest of Mary, they all knew that Jesus was Messiah and that they all would worship him as such. And it's very easy for us as Christians to go, yep, we know Jesus as our Saviour. We've done that. But we should be worshipping him as such, putting into practice these things and being like Simeon and Anna, that were excited to see the Messiah, and they were just rejoicing every day. That should be us. That should be the thing that our core belief brings out in us. And so, I know it's short this evening, but that's my challenge to you tonight, is make sure that your core belief is the Messiah and that you worship him as such, but then use that, because everyone is different. But use that for God's glory. Use that to share to the lost, and use that to make the church here a special church, that everyone can be different, but everyone can be used for God's glory. And we'll leave it there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the examples of these ones that we've seen. Thank you that they were righteous. May we desire to be righteous and bold in you. Lord, may we use our differences for your glory. May we, Lord, not get bogged down in them, but use them to reach those that we can, Lord, as everyone has the ability to reach special people because of our place in the world. And we pray that, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you as their Saviour, may they call on Jesus to save them this day. Lord, we thank you for our time in your word this evening. Bless our close now. Amen.